If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find two books of the Bible, if you would find the book of Psalms chapter number 146, and you would find the book of Acts. Psalms is in the Old Testament, Acts would be in the New Testament. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in front of you in a black hardcover book. Please feel free to use it. While you're turning there, I was given a little story this week I thought would be apropos to the service. Pastor was in the lobby of the church, and there was a little boy standing there. Little boy was standing there with tremendous focus looking at a plaque that was on the wall. It was the most marvelous plaque, as it should have been. The pastor walked over there and just kind of was watching the little boy as he was so gazed upon it, made his way, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Preacher, have you ever seen anything so shiny in all your life?" He said, "No, it's beautiful, isn't it?" He says, "What is it?" He said, that's a plaque of all of the men and women. And we just had Veterans Day, of all the men and women who had given their life in the service. And his little boy was standing there, and man, he just was absolutely honed in on that plaque. And the pastor went to leave, and he began to notice that the little boy was shaking a little bit. He walked back over there, and he said, "Son, are you sure you're going to be okay?" Had a little lump in his throat, and he was a little bit nervous. He said, "Preacher, did they die in the 10 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service?" So my goal is not to let you die in the 11 o'clock service today, all right? You know who sent me that, you who did, and so I appreciate you walking with the Lord and finding good stuff like that. Psalms, chapter number 146, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I want to take that verse today, verse number 2. I'm going to springboard from this verse, but I want to use this as my text. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to suggest to you and to state to you with all of the authority that I believe can be invested in a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. And God's people said, I want to speak to you today and next Sunday on the thought of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. I really believe that the believer in Jesus Christ has a duty to praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about what is passed off today as praise, and I'm not asking you to make a fool of yourself, and I'm not asking you to be without integrity, and I'm not asking you to be without biblical knowledge, but I do suggest to you that as you read the Bible and as you grow in the Lord, praise ought to be a marvelous part of the born-again believer's life. As we embark now on the end of November, and it seems to me like our society today, they want to skip Thanksgiving. I mean, it was all big decoration for Halloween, and now we blink our eyes, and now everything's decorated for Christmas. And I'm okay with that. I got candy on Halloween. Matter of fact, I went out in the rain, pouring down rain on me. And if you go in the rain, they give you more. They had less trick-or-treaters there, so they were just loading us up. And I was telling the kids, go get more, and we'd load back up, go get more. And then we went in the store, and there was Christmas, and I enjoy Christmas. But let's not rush through the opportunity to be thankful. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Romans and you read the very first chapter of the book of Romans, in all of that wickedness, in all of that debauchery, and in all of that of that reprobate position that those people had in Romans chapter 1, the Bible said it began because they were unthankful. And so I want to take a little bit and talk to you about this thought of praise, and I want to encourage you today. The book of Psalms is a marvelous book of encouragement. I hope and pray that it's part of your at least weekly Bible reading. The psalmist here in chapter 146, verse 2, said, "While I live, will I praise the Lord?" And I that's a powerful thought, while I live. I know we're gonna praise the Lord when we're in heaven, and most of heaven will be filled with praise, and it will be filled with awesome praise. But the psalmist said, I wanna do it while I'm on the earth. If you know a little bit about the book of Psalms, there's 150 chapters. The last five chapters really are given to the whole direction of praise. When you read the book of Psalms, you really feel like you're watching a volcano. And at any moment throughout the book of Psalms, that volcano of praise is about ready to explode. And when you get to chapter 146, 147, and especially 148, an explosion takes place. And it's like the great conductor of a marvelous orchestra gathers himself in Psalm 148. And he begins to call in the different sections of the orchestra. If you look at verse number 1 of 148, he says, "Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from heavens, and praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels, all his host." In verse number 3, "Sun, moon, stars of light, heavens of heavens, waters above, let them praise the name of the Lord." And that whole chapter is like a big conductor bringing it all together. And finally, as they come through 149 and into 150, you come to the very last verse of that chapter, and it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Pastor, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't even want to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My friend, that may be your position. That is a damnable position. It's a position of condemnation. And one day you'll meet Jesus Christ as the just judge, and you will bow your knee and declare him King of Kings. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And God's people said, amen. So I can hold the position that I won't do that on earth, but one day you will bow your knee. Everybody will. The most wicked person alive, or the most so-called atheist person, will bow their knee to the glory of God the Father, and they will say with their lips, whether their heart wants to or not, with their lips, "He is the King of Glory." Everyone will do that. But if your position now is, "I don't want Jesus Christ," you still should praise the Lord. Why? Because the very breath that was in your body is placed there by Jesus Christ. Your mental faculties, your physical faculties, everything you have is given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is worthy of all praise. Pastor, why would it be important that I praise the Lord? Now I need you to go to Acts chapter 16 and let me show you a little bit why I believe it's important for you to praise the Lord. I really believe, and the Bible teaches, that praise and the position of praise and the practice of praise is really a measurement of our Christianity, of our walk with the Lord. You see, being able to give thanks, the Bible says, in everything, to praise him when I'm on the mountain and praise him when I'm in the valley, to be able to praise at all times. And so the position and practice of praise is really the test of where I stand. Now, I'm not talking about in my righteousness, because once I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received eternal righteousness. If you agree with that, you should say amen. All right. So I received eternal righteousness. So I'm not talking about measuring my righteousness. My righteousness is null and void, except the righteousness that I find in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brings to me righteousness because of him. But once I have that righteousness, I'm to walk with him and grow with him and talk with him. And the measure of that growth and the measure of where I stand as a believer believer, and the measure of me growing in grace is my ability to praise the Lord. And I have this written on my paper that I would like to say to you also. Praise the Lord that our Christianity, Bible Christianity, those that have their hope in Jesus Christ, we are the only, and I quote, only religion, if you want to say that, that has anything to praise about. Right? You notice the Catholics, and if you're Catholic in here, forgive me, but most of Catholicism is formality and rigidness and do's and don'ts, and there's a drive on you. Most other religions, there's a sacrifice. Even in the Bible time, Moloch was the god of fire, and so they would build that god with those arms laid like that, and they would bring their little newborn babies, and they'd place them in the arm of Moloch, and then some fool would get behind there and pull the arm, and the arm would bring him into the mouth of Moloch and would burn those babies alive. There's no joy in watching that. And most of the religions of the world, they want everybody to go in a stoic position or in a sacrificial position or in a depression position. But my friend, in Jesus Christ, it's a life position. Life is, we have reason to praise the Lord. If you're here without Jesus Christ and you think that religion is all sobriety and religion is all fake and all farce, I would agree with you. But I'm not here to introduce you today to religion. I'm here to introduce you today to Jesus Christ. Get this mental picture and don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Here's what religion is. Religion is man's effort to reach up to God. Somebody give me an Old Testament example of man's effort to reach up to God in a religious position. What'd they do? Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was, let's build and let's reach up to God. And so religion says, do the best you can, do all you can, do it with a good heart, do it with good motivation, do it with good sacrifice, but reach up as far as you can and get a hold of God. My friend, there is nothing but frustration in that position. There is nothing but hollowness, nothing but emptiness, and ultimately, if I'm in a position of religion trying to reach up to God, my final destination will be a place called hell. You see, religion is man's effort to just get way up as high as I can. Thank you, God, not let me fall or split my pants. I thought about that as I got up there. Jesus Christ is God's effort to reach down to man. Yeah, now think about that. Or here's Jesus Christ. Because in my wickedness, I could not reach up to the righteousness of God. But for God so loved the that he gave. And so religion is futile. Jesus Christ is eternal salvation. Amen, preacher. Thank you very much. You guys are sleepy today. Okay. Now, I got reason to praise. Praise ought to be part of all of our life. It ought to be in every prayer we give. It ought to be in our song. And praise ought to be the keynote of our very existence. In Acts chapter number 16, and picking up with verse number 19, all the way down through the end of the chapter, we're introduced with two people, people named Paul and Silas. You know Paul to be the great missionary. You know Silas to be a great missionary that went with him. You know that in the first missionary trip, Paul went with a guy named Barnabas, but they took another guy named John Mark with them, and John Mark wanted to go home for some reason. And so the next time they wanted to take their journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul said, I don't want to take John Mark. And a fight, a strong disagreement, the Bible says, came between Paul and between Barnabas. So Barnabas ends up taking John Mark and going one way, and Paul takes Luke and Silas, and they go another way. And so in Acts chapter 16, Paul's partner is Silas. And we find them in a certain position. It was a position we find Paul a lot in. If you pick up in verse number, for sake of time, let's pick up with verse number 20. They're brought out in front of all the guard here. It says they brought them to the magistrate saying, "These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. They trouble the city because they preach the gospel. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So they stripped them down and they whooped the fire out of them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them," verse number 23, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison," I'm gonna come back to that in a minute, "and made their feet fast," or secure, "in the stocks." Okay, they're in jail. Verse 25, "and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang," say it church, "praises unto God." Pastor, how they do that? How they do that? How in the world are you telling me that they're out there serving the Lord, they're doing what they know to do, they get brought up in charges, they're beat to an absolute pulp, they're cast into a prison, their feet are put fast in stocks, they're almost forgotten, and they're put into this jail, and now they're there singing praises unto God? Pastor, I'm not that good a Christian. Or I'm not that hypocritical. See, a lot of times people want to hide behind hypocrisy. And so they'll see somebody who's going through a hard time and they'll stand up and they'll say, "Praise the Lord." And us being good Christians, we'll think, "Oh, they're just hypocrite. If we could really know the truth about them." And so we hide behind that hypocrisy, or we come over here on this side of the argument and we look at somebody praising the Lord and we just say, "Man, I'm just not that good a Christian." Well, my friend, being a good Christian has nothing to do with you praising the Lord. Having Bible understanding has everything to do with you praising the Lord. I'm gonna say that again. Being a good Christian has nothing to do with you praising the Lord. Having Bible understanding has everything with you to do with praising the Lord. Let me give you a couple of things here that Paul and Silas understood, and I'll give them to you quickly. You're gonna have to write them down. I'm not gonna finish this, but I'll get to a point where I can get done close to 12. Look at the first thing that enabled them to praise the Lord. Go to Acts chapter 9 and verse number 5. Acts chapter 9, verse number 5. Now, you know this chapter. This is the chapter where Saul, who is the Apostle Paul, comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my Bible, in Acts chapter 9, there is some of the print that's in red lettering. Now, the translators did that, and red lettering means that who is speaking at that time? Jesus is, all right? So here's the Apostle Paul. He's on the Damascus Road going to serve religion, trying his dead level best to reach up to God by killing Christians. Now, that's not absurd. I don't know what is. And so here he is, verse number 1, he's on his way. Verse number 2, he's got permission. Verse number 3, he's on his way to Damascus. Verse number 4, verse number 5, he runs into Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, face to face, and he has a conversation with the Lord. Pastor, how in the world could Paul and Silas sing praises in such a position? First off, you better understand that they had met and they knew that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, if you know that he's alive, say amen. All right? Have you seen him? See, Paul saw him. Bible says, how do we see the Lord Jesus today? We see the Lord Jesus by faith. We know him. He lives in our heart. The Apostle Paul met him face to face on the Damascus Road. And so when the Apostle Paul is in jail and then he's in that difficult time, his thought process and his memory goes back to when he met Jesus Christ and he knew that Jesus Christ is alive. How do you begin to praise the Lord? How is it part of your life? It begins by knowing that Jesus is alive. See, there's no reason to praise if our God is dead. Why would we praise if we have a dead God? Why would I live like God? God is dead. My God's not dead. My God is alive. And so the first thing that I need is biblical understanding that they put him on that cross, but he's not on the cross anymore. And he's not in the tomb anymore. Now, if you're one of our friends and you get, I'm just gonna say it, and you wear around your neck, or you have in home, or you do whatever, you have a what they call a crucifix, and that's a cross with the Lord Jesus still on there. I appreciate the recognition of the death of Jesus Christ. But if you could go to the place called Golgotha and you could find the very wood beams that they crucified the Lord, Jesus Christ is not on the cross today. Matter of fact, we saw this morning in the pictures and the paintings in Brazil that they have him in the tomb, and they've got him in this box. And some artist who may have had good talent, he just didn't have any sense, puts the Lord Jesus in the tomb. And so if we could go to the Holy Land and we could go find the tomb and we could get somebody to move the door and we could walk in there, you would find that Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. You don't need to have him on the cross. He's not in the tomb. You don't need to understand that. Where is he today? Well, the Bible teaches clearly that he is alive and seated at the right hand of Jesus Christ, waiting to come get us. Oh, we have reason to rejoice. Paul said, I can praise because I know that Jesus is alive. Look at the second thing, chapter number 9. Look at verse number 15. Chapter number 9, verse number 15. Here is the call of God on Paul's life. Jesus there, telling what he's going to do, how he's going to use Paul. He says to Ananias, go thy way, for he, that's Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul knew the call of God on his life. Paul knew that he was to go and stand before kings. He knew he was going to do that. Now, prior to here, he's not been before kings, so he knows he's going. God's call is on his life. He knows he's going to suffer, but he knows he's been called to serve. And so he's in the jail, and it's midnight, and he's a bloody pulp, and he's in pain, and he's in those stocks, and yet he can still praise the Lord. Why? Because he knew the call of God on his life. Now, has the church been given a call today? What do we call our call? Well, that was good. We call our call the Great Commission. So we have been commissioned to go into all the world and teach them how to be Christian. Is that true? No, that's a wicked philosophy. We are to teach them how to be born again and to have them come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So listen, understanding my call in the living Lord Jesus enables me to praise the Lord. Look at number 3. Come over here to chapter 16. Look at verses 6 to 13. Not only does Paul have a call upon his life, but in Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 to 13, you see him understanding God's will. This is, pick up with verse number 6. Now, when they had gone throughout that place and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Okay, they wanted to go to Bithynia. They did not want to come to Macedonia. They did not want to come over here. They wanted to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Had they went to Bithynia, there would have not been a jail cell for the Apostle Paul. Had they been over there, he probably would have never delivered that little girl from her demon. He probably never would have made that guy mad. That guy probably would have never went over here and told upon them. And there probably never would have been a jail scene. And they could have been over here in Bithynia preaching and enjoying life. But the Apostle Paul was able to praise the Lord because he was right in the dead center of God's will. Now, let me make some application. The reason most of God's people don't want to praise the Lord is we think that God hasn't cared for us. We think that God's got me stuck over here in an upside down mortgage and losing money in my 401k and my job's all at risk. And had I not taken that dumb job, or had I not stuck on that piece of obedience, or had I not done this, then life would be different. And so the Apostle Paul, he could be sitting in that jail cell thinking, man, did I mess up? God, I did what you wanted me to do, and look at me. But that's how a lot of times we as Christians treat God's will. But don't forget this, where God guides, God will always provide. Amen. So, well, Pastor, I can't praise the Lord because I'm over here and life should be different for me. My friend, if you are in the will of God and God brought you to where you are, then God didn't forget you. And by the way, had there been no Macedonian, there would be no saved jailer in all his house. See, God used that. Well, how do I praise the Lord? Well, stop thinking, oh, the grass is greener, or stop thinking, oh, man, God, you let me down. If I'm in the will of God, God's leading me along. Look at number four. Not only does he know the living Lord Jesus, not only does he know the call of God on his life, not only does he know the will of God, and he's going according to God's leadership, he also knows about the work of God. Pick up with verse number 20. And actually, verse number 19 of chapter 16. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone. Well, what happened? Well, this little girl was being abused by these people, and she had a devil in her. And Paul, in verse number 18, cast the devil out. And so these people were getting money off of her. They were prostituting her. And now she's no longer able to be prostituted because she's with the Lord Jesus, and they're ticked off. And so in verse number 19, when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they go in there and they say, these men do exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs, verse 21, which are not lawful for us to receive. And verse number 22, the Bible says, and what's the word, church? Multitude. I mean, they get the whole city in an uproar. They've got everybody in a panic, and now they're aggressive against the work of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here today and you no longer have a heart to praise the Lord, you may be saved, but you're just a little bit frustrated and you just don't like this, and it's because you've been disappointed in trying to do God's work. Maybe you were a witness and they just hammered you in the ground. Maybe you did speak up and now you've lost everything. Or maybe you did do this and lost. Would you understand something about the work of God? The work of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is divisive work. It is. Jesus said, I will not come to bring peace. I've come to divide. Paul knew that they were preaching the gospel. Look at verse 21. Not in touch with the customs. Listen. If I was to change my message or you were to change your message, we could get everybody to like us. Everybody to like us. But if I'm going to preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, not everybody's going to like that message. Not everybody will. And so Paul understood the work of God, and he understood the eternality of the work of God. Look at the last thing. He understood the word of God. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Hold your hand in Acts. We're coming back. Look at Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, pick up, okay, I hear five pages turning. Somebody at least crinkle them, so I think everybody's turning there. All right, Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 35. Paul says this. Later he writes this to the church at Rome. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, which is danger, sword? Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the, say it, church, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Paul could praise the Lord in that position because he knew the living Lord, that Jesus was alive, the call of God, the will of God, the work of God, but he knew the word of God. He knew that even though they took him, go back to 16, they took him and put him into that jail cell and put him in those stocks and stuck him back in that deep, dark hole. By the way, I'll tell you something about that hole. If you look, and I lost my verse here, verse number 29, it talks about they needed a light to see. So here he is. He's in the deepest part of that place. No light, bloody pulp, absolutely under the toughest watch by that prisoner. And if anybody could say that Jesus Christ had forsaken or forgot them, it would have been Paul. Would you agree with that? Shake your head. Yeah. But Paul had biblical understanding. And biblical understanding said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the presence of God. I like to think it went something like this. Pitch dark, feet fastened, hands fastened, bleeding and sore everywhere. Everybody wondering what's going on. I bet old Paul said, Silas, yeah, Paul. Silas, you over there? Yeah, but I can't see you. Hey, Silas, what's the name of that song? Excuse me? What's the name of that song? Well, what song? Oh, you know that song that guy wrote back there? What was his, Moses, or pick one from David. What was the name of that song? And in the midnight hour, the Bible says, they begin to sing a song. By the way, it's not the Bible, but I'm glad for the hymn book. I'm glad for the hymn book. For in the hymn book, there's songs to sing in the midnight hour. I wonder today, are you in the midnight hour? Do you feel like you're in a place that's deep and dark and there's no reason to praise the Lord? And the last time you ever thought about praising the Lord was a long time ago, because either, number one, you don't think you're a good enough Christian, or number two, you think it would be hypocritical. My friend, neither one of those matter. If I have biblical understanding, I know that I am to praise the Lord at all times. Pastor, is praising the Lord just words? Okay, now here, I preached all that was introduction to give you my message. You gotta be kidding me. No, I'm serious. Is it just words? Do I just have to, is it just mere Christian precedent? Well, look at Acts chapter 16 and look at verse number 26. The Bible says, in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like that. They weren't closet praisers. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a, what's your Bible say? Great earthquake. Now, great earthquake is the resemblance of power. Now, hear me. Praise is power. It's power. The reason that most of God's people don't have power on their life is because we have surrendered the position and practice of praise, and we've surrendered the position and practice of praise because we've somewhere got distracted from biblical understanding, and now we measure position and practice of praise based on whether or not we're a good Christian. My friend, there's only ever been one good Christian. His name was Jesus. Or we measure it based on our understanding of hypocrisy. So we think, well, I would be hypocritical if I praised the Lord right now, or I would be this. So we measure based on our wealth, on our status over there, our situation over here, and we have surrendered that practice and position of praise, and with it we have surrendered our power. The reason that our children at the age of 18 want nothing to do with our religion anymore is because we've lost our praise. There's no thrill or excitement to what we're doing. It's powerful. Let me show you how powerful praise is. Look at verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. You see, praise has the power to break bondage and set free. Oh, I gotta say that again. God, help me now. Help me get this. It has the power to break bondage and set free. You see, if we're not careful, even though we may be saved, we sit over here in such bondage. We're scared out of our mind. We're afraid about everything. We're disappointed in ourselves. We've tried all this. We don't know what to feel. And so we find ourselves as Christians sometimes all bound up. And it's like we're like Paul. We're like in this little prison of our life.
in our life. Yeah, I may know the Lord, but my God, where's the joy of knowing the Lord? The joy of knowing the Lord went out a long time ago, and now I've built myself this little cubicle, and it's dark, and it stinks, and I'm in pain, and I'm in bondage, and I'm thinking, is this all that God has to offer me? And I have surrendered the power to break that because I no longer measure my praise on biblical understanding. I want to measure it on myself. And in myself, there's no glory due unto myself. And so Paul, knowing all those things, in the course of that, began to praise. And the foundation broke. And the chains broke. And it set them free. You see, if you're bound today and whatever has made you lose the joy of the Lord, praise is what will break through to that. You may not believe me, but it's in the Bible. Look what else it says. It's power not only to break that, but it's power to persuade. Pick up with verse number 28. But this is after the thing broke, the walls went down. Now when prisoners, when walls go down, you'd think they would all run away. And if any of those prisoners would have escaped, the jailer would have had to kill himself. He would have been killed. So that's why he was going to kill himself. But in verse number 28, Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Who's all here? Just the Christians? No, he's not just saying Paul and Silas are here. The whole jail is there. Everybody stayed. Why would they stay, preacher? They were captivated by one man who had biblical understanding, who began to praise the Lord, and the power of God came upon the place. And now those people are standing there wanting to know, who in the world is that guy? I wrote this on my paper. Every single one of us that have an unsaved family member better understand the importance of praising our God. And God's people said, you see, our families are going, boom. Oh man, I'm 18. I no longer go to that dumb church. Or, oh man, I'm not putting up with that. And so what's happening in Christianity, what's happening in our good Baptist churches is there is when the walls come down, there is an exodus and everybody's leaving. Why? Because we no longer are praising the Lord in our life and celebrating what God has done. And we've surrendered biblical knowledge and we've left it up to our stinking imagination, which is futile. And our children are thinking, boy, as soon as I can get out of here, bam, I am out the door. They didn't lose one prisoner. You see, the reason you better praise is because you want your family to know the Lord. Look at verse number 29. Pick up with that. Then he called for a light. That's the guard. And he came in and trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And say it with me, church, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, praise is powerful. It breaks bondage. It frees me from my prison, but it also preaches the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, praise is not just music. It's not just praise chorus. Praise begins in my heart. It's founded upon biblical understanding. And I promise you this, if you surrender the practice of praising the Lord Jesus Christ, then you surrender the joy and power of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you not to do that. Come back to the good old book. Know that our Jesus is alive. Know the call of God on your life. Know God's will wherever you are. If you're being obedient and you find yourself in a position, God led you there. God can care for you there. Understand the work of God is divisive. Understand there's enemies to the cause of Christ. But understand that God's word says, nothing can separate me from the love and presence of Jesus Christ. If you would believe that, say amen. 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 Conclusion. Praise is our duty to God. Praise is our duty to ourself. And praise is our duty to our brother man. My friend, I think what some of us need to do is we need to take this old Bible and we need to find ourselves a little quiet place. And we mean to begin to get in there and find out the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and what we have in him. And stop surrendering our position of praise
to how we feel and understand that we were sinners and without hope until Jesus Christ came and rescued me. Oh, let praise fill our church, fill your home, fill your soul, for it's our duty to praise our God. The psalmist said, you know, I'm going to do it while I'm alive, while I'm alive. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I'm convinced that true praise has been stolen from us by some, and it's been surrendered by others. Oh, now they just get up and dance and scream and shout and run around the building or bark like dogs or laugh crazy and call it praise. That's not biblical praise. Some have tried to steal it, but I think some of us have surrendered it also. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, praise begins with Jesus Christ. It begins by being born again. It begins by understanding that he's alive. It continues by understanding the call of God and the will of God and the work of God and the word of God. It's powerful, God. There's people here today that they sit in a little prison. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's insufficiency. And they know the Lord, but there's no praise in their 6x9 cell, whatever's built around them. But if they would begin to have biblical understanding and begin to praise the Lord, those foundations and those walls would come down. Power of God would come upon them. People around them would know the message of salvation. And the joy of God would return. God, we need that. I'm afraid that too many Christians think that we're stuck in this deep, dark hole and you've done forgot about us. That's not true. That's not true. Had there never been a deep, dark hole, there'd be no saved Philippian jailer and his house. So thank you, God. Thank you for that. I wonder today why you stand there with heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there'd be someone here today say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ, but I have surrendered the practice of praise. I right now am stuck in that deep dark hole and praise is the farthest thing from me. Actually, I begin to complain about the Lord. And I needed to hear about biblical understanding. I have reduced all of my joy down to what I can muster up in the Christian life. Pastor, God spoke to me today. God just revealed himself in a glorious way. And I want to seek forgiveness for my lack of praise. Pastor, don't embarrass me, but pray for me, would you? I'll pray for you if you'll lift your hand. Pastor, pray for me. That's my position. I need help there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Somebody else. God bless you here, sir. God bless you. I wonder today, would there be someone here that say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have something to praise the Lord about. I'd like to know him as my Savior. Pastor, here's my hand. Don't embarrass me, but pray for me, Pastor. I need to be saved. If you lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. Sure, God bless you in the back. I see that hand, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else, Pastor, pray for me. I need to know the Lord. God help me. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands. I'm sure there are many more hearts than there were hands. God, I want the people to be biblically understanding. I pray for the person today that needs to confess their sin of defeat and discouragement and get back to praising the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For God, we need the power of God in our lives, our children, our families, our spouses, our jobs. We must have God's power. God, for the man who raised his hand to be saved, I pray for that man for courage. Raising his hand did not save him. He must come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking an aisle won't save him, but opening his heart to Christ will. God, give that man courage. Right now, I beg you, give him courage. I beg you. I wonder today, heads bowed and eyes closed and Kevin playing softly, before we even begin to sing our song, I'm going to give you an opportunity to move. Maybe you want to come today, sir, with heads bowed and eyes closed and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If so, you just come right down here and tell Brother Jay. Nobody's looking, only me. If ever there's an opportunity for you to know Christ, it's now if you'd come. Christian, maybe you want to come and fall on your face before God. Before we sing, I'm going to give you just a moment of privacy to do so. Go ahead, move now if you would. Others are moving. How about you? How about you? Heavenly Father, take and finish our invitation now with an opportunity for people to come. Thank you for this church. I love my church. I'm the pastor, but I'm a church member, and I love my church. For the heart that needs to come, God, you move now. Maybe someone needs to come and join the church. Whatever the case may be, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.